Welcome to Earful, the podcast where three friends with differing music tastes suggest an album to each other, give it a listen, and then come back and talk about it. As always, I'm Luke, and with me are...
Got Nick.
And Peter.
And we're going to be talking about three albums, just like always. The first up tonight is we're going to be talking about Harvey Danger's Little by Little. And since I'm not used to going first, because normally we put Nick in the hot seat. He picks an album from like 1990, and so he ends up going first.
I like how you said that really condescendingly, yeah. Oh, really? As if 1990 was like 150 years ago.
Well, I mean, I was going to point out that your first one was from the 70s, correct. But I chose to, you know, give you a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt. And depending on our listeners' age, it may as well have been 100 years ago for
that's
them.
True.
So yeah, so let's talk about Harvey Danger. This is their last album before they broke up. This is Little by Little. They released it. They actually released it digitally and made it available pretty much for free, like pay what you want. And it was kind of early on in doing that in 2006. Not a lot of places were doing that, sort of, you know, not as big a deal as it is now on like Bandcamp and things like that. I really love this album. I think it's a solid album, start to finish. I think it's incredibly, like, I love the piano in this album. I think, like, every step of the way. Yeah, you can't see Peter, but Peter's like throwing his finger around.
Around mirrors, best piano in that song.
Yeah, yeah. So I love the piano and all of it. It's just, I think, start to finish, probably their best album. They sort of exploded on the scene in the mid-90s with Flagpole Sitta from the album Where Have All the Merrymakers Gone, and that's a great album, but I don't think it's as good as Little by Little, and both of them are better than the King James version. So...
I was a little bit confused at first after listening to the album, because I went back just to check, and it said Harvey Danger on the cover,
yeah.
But I could have swore it was the Decemberists.
It's super funny that you brought up the Decemberists, because I've been like listening to a bunch of Decemberists this week. Mm-hmm. So it's just
yeah,
funny.
You were listening to this.
No, I was not.
But no, I actually, I found myself pretty into this.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Of the albums you've recommended,
sure.
I would say this one is up there with The Postal Service for me.
I think yeah?
These two are kind of on the same level for me.
Okay. No, you're not really, just still not feeling Apples and Stereo, huh?
I told you. I don't know. I've never been more conflicted. I don't know. But no, I thought there was a lot of good tracks. I just kind of like the vibe of it. I think that the melodies are interesting. Like you said, all the songs kind of have like a bouncy piano mm-hmm. vibe.
Even when they're super sad and creepy.
Yeah.
Really, creepily
they
weird.
They kind of like reminded me, I don't know if you guys ever listened to the Zombies, mm-hmm. but that kind of vibe reminded me of them as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there was like a lot of different sounds on this album too. Like there are some of those like bouncy piano ballads, but then there's like some heavier like distorted stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got super psyched when... Picture came on mm-hmm. because I thought it was the White Stripes.
I love how you're just comparing this band to a bunch of other bands that I like, and I think that's great.
But no, it just like I kind of like there's a song on my album that I feel like is mm-hmm. kind of an analog for this.
Sure.
Where like a song doesn't seem to fit in really mm-hmm. musically, but it just like rocks in the right way and the right mood you need right at that point in the album.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was definitely that one for me. So
yeah,
I think there's a lot of cool stuff on this.
Yeah, I think Picture showing up right after War Buddies is a really good choice in the track listing mm-hmm. for sure.
I mean, and us beyond, does anyone else feel like, but this album from like a message standpoint, it was it political or was that just me? It was, right?
I mean, I don't know if it was necessary, like any more so than I think just sort of their innate politics. I don't think think their goal was to like go out and make a political album.
Gotcha.
But there, I mean, 100% there are political overtones in there.
For sure, for sure. Especially, I mean, like in War Buddies in and of itself. But then I feel like they used like whatever the politics that was in there sort of like some sort of metaphor mm-hmm. for whatever, sort of like a microcosm of a relationship that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But honestly, I'm gonna straight up say it, dude. Every album you've picked, I have found like more than one track that I've like added to the playlist. You know?
Hey.
Yeah, no. I like it because you can bop to it. Mm-hmm. Like I bop But you could.
Yeah.
Like, I bopped to War Buddies. Totally bopped
to War Buddies. I put on War Buddies the other night when I was, like, getting ready for bed. I was like, oh, this is a great song that I want to listen to right now. So.
For real.
As somebody who's deeply against playlists, I hate that this is happening.
As someone who loves playlists, I love this.
For real.
I don't know how you guys felt. I Just of the albums you've recommended, Luke. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This one, to me, I felt like was the weakest lyrically. Is that a hot take?
Dude.
I don't... I think there are some really clever lyrical things happening in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Happiness Writes White mm-hmm. has a really... Like, has a bunch of great lyrical things in there. I actually, a while back, listening to that song, I went and looked up to see if the phrase Happiness Writes White was a real thing. Mm-hmm. And it actually is. It's all about the idea that, like... You don't see happiness in writing as much. The idea is that it doesn't transfer, right? It's like it appears white on the page
mm-hmm.
Because you only ever see sorrow and anger and frustration. And this the whole song is about like the reason I haven't ever written you a song is because like I'm too happy with mm-hmm. our relationship to write any sort of sad, miserable, like mournful song.
Sure.
that would fit this love song sort of space. And I feel like, I mean, Cream and Bastards is a great, I don't know, there's great lyrics in that one. Cream and Bastards Rise. And
yeah, I didn't hate any of the lyrics in here. I guess
they're, Little Round Mirrors does a good job of storytelling in that song, I think. And I mean, it's maybe not as, they're not always, I mean, it's funny. I
will say it's funny that you mentioned that song, though, because mm-hmm. one of my, probably my favorite line was from that song.
Yeah.
He says... A shooting star is a little piece of cosmic debris desperately yeah. wanting yes. to fall to Earth.
From Little Round
it
Mirrors.
Doesn't yeah. get too far. It's not a real star. It's hardly even worth footnotes in your memoir.
Yeah.
Like, going back to the Sarah McLachlan thing where you're like, that could only be written in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how this made it into the Earth.
See, what's funny to me is, like, you... Because you compared them to the Decemberists, and one of the things people always say about the Decemberists is it's, like, hyper-literate lyrics, and mm-hmm. then you're like, man, this is weak. These are weak lyrics. I disagree.
Musically,
yeah.
they sound exactly like the Decemberists. Lyrically, I don't know. I didn't hate the lyrics.
Sure.
I didn't find as much to catch on
right.
to. Whereas I liked the music more on this than mm-hmm. than some of the other stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, especially I don't know. It's close to my top. Diminishing Returns
mm.
is an incredible song.
That is a great. It's a great song.
That
it's an amazing song. Yeah.
It's probably between that and Picture Picture for mm-hmm. me for my favorite song on the record. And that one just like had such a cool. It's there is nothing more that I love
mm-hmm.
than when an album sticks the landing.
Even that if, sticks the landing.
Even
no,
if the entire 100%. Album sucks.
Yeah.
If there's a great song at the end,
yeah.
it totally fucking pays off and gets yeah. me super psyched. There's
yeah.
nothing that I love more than that. And this is a great song to end mm-hmm. the album on. And
well, and again, it's like they the layout of the tracks is so well designed in this album. Like What You Live By and then Going Into Diminishing Returns, like those are like these are great choices.
Mm-hmm. I did think it was weird. I don't know if you know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there is so on the thing I was listening to,
sure.
it said Little by Little Expanded Edition.
Oh, the deluxe
but
edition.
It was not the deluxe edition. It only
no.
had the
standard
regular
tracks,
list.
Yeah.
But when I was going through like looking up the album lyrics,
mm-hmm.
there was a completely different track order on the expanded version,
yeah.
even that has these, but some of the songs are higher and lower.
Yeah.
And so I thought that
yeah,
was
Yeah, I think
weird,
it was just in Spotify. They put listed deluxe and it wasn't the actual deluxe.
Yeah, it's
so.
Weird. I have YouTube Music and it does the same thing,
yeah.
but when I looked it up, I usually go to Genius for all of my
mm-hmm.
lyrics and stuff when I'm going through.
For sure.
And like the track listing for the expanded one is very weird.
Mm.
And I don't even remember if Diminishing Returns was the last song on that one.
Oh, well, that would be awful.
Yeah, very weird.
Yeah. yeah.
But, yeah, just, like, it's got such a great build and,
mm-hmm.
like, such a great emotionality to
sure.
it that, yeah, I really, really dug that song.
Yeah. And, it does have that great, but, like, I'll meet you at the point of Diminishing Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, God, that's a gut punch of a line.
Right.
Like, it really is.
Could you bop to that one, Peter?
Dude, I could bop to this borderline this entire album, dude.
Yeah.
For real. Like, there's a few parts where they're like, the trumpets are, the pianos are just fire,
mm-hmm.
dude. And I know you hate the adjective selection right now. Okay? But nonetheless, dude, and like, Diminishing Returns, like I said, the best possible way to finish that album. And the fact that you said Sticking the Landing makes me wonder about the Kendrick album, but we're not there yet. But like you said, like, Diminishing, like, there was a part where sort of, like, I don't know. It felt like Diminishing Returns was about, like, a society suffering, you know? There was, like, something, sort of, some sort of, like, unrest. And Diminishing Returns, like, came with, like, the solutions to those unrest. There's thematically, that's where I could have sworn, like, I sense political elements.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of, like, crescendoed in Diminishing Returns.
Well,
and
I mean, again, this is their last album.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like a weird done
yeah.
kind of choice, too. Like, this is our, like... how much more can we get as a band?
Yeah,
I would say that your
this is it.
Your take on these lyrics is far ahead of your subtextual lesbianism
miles
that you saw last episode. Yeah. So
maybe.
Okay. I mean, I guess points to you for being willing to stick with that disgusting take that you had. But
I am.
That's all it takes, man.
So, yeah. Favorite tracks?
Yeah, like I said, mine is Picture Picture and Diminishing Returns. Uh-huh. I thought Picture Picture just, like, rocked too hard. I kind of felt the same. I'm blanking on the name, but from the last album, the Apples and Stereo album, there was that one song in, like, the middle of the album that, like, had super heavy electric guitars and stuff.
I can't think. I could look it up.
Yeah, it's what it is. But like, it kind of had the same thing as this, where it just like came out of nowhere. Mm. Like right when I'm like, okay, I'm digging the piano, but like I need some ampage here.
Then
it just kicks right in. Like I said, I immediately thought of the White Stripes. Mm-hmm. That guitar riff is like is Jack White all over. And then I don't know. I love when I'm into an album and then it ends perfectly.
Yeah.
So Diminishing Returns for me.
Dude, for me, like, I would say, like, is it Moral Centralia?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, like, the idea that it's sort of, like, that you don't want to marry a side of an argument, you don't want to marry your convictions, love that shit.
Yeah.
Because I get that, because that takes a little,
it's
like...
It's all about me.
Yeah, yeah, I love that idea.
I wrote that song had the most pretentious chorus that I've ever heard.
and that's what I bonded with. Okay. Wine, Woman, and Song, I think is the first track on the album.
Yeah, that's a great opening track.
It's a great opening track. Yeah.
I feel like it hit me deep personally. I forget the exact lines, but yeah.
Was it about shacking up with a poet?
Potentially.
Having nothing left to say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, that poet had me at, like, syllable one. Okay, but, like, you know. But yeah. And I think, and again, War Buddies, I said, on the playlist.
I'm surprised that you guys connected with War Buddies much. That's one of my, actually, the songs that I liked the least on the album. I didn't get into it.
I really, like, I felt like there were some great lines in there that you would appreciate and enjoy, but I'm surprised.
Yeah. Again, I'm not writing
really,
off.
No, I know, but just didn't really connect with it. Because I feel like it builds, like, I'm not surprised you connected with it, because you're almost always about, like, storytelling in a song. Yeah. Uh-huh. And this...
Okay, he's about storytelling in a song. His taste proves otherwise.
Well, that's what he's about. I didn't say he would succeed it all the time, but that's where he always goes back to. He's always talking about the story, even if I don't think it's there.
He sounds like modern country music fans who, like, all I care about is story in my country music. Like,
beer, beer, truck, truck.
Yeah, anyway.
beer, truck.
Haven't made one of those songs in 40 years.
Well, that one in particular, like, War Buddies, it like starts with, like, this, like, sex metaphor thing's gonna be, and then boom, they get all smart ass about it. I love that shit. Dude.
Yeah,
I love that. Like,
well, then it gets very, very, like, darkly serious at the end about, like, you know, like tanks rolling in the Warsaw. It's a great song. I think it's a good song. Personally, my favorite is Happiness Reds White. It's, like, on a couple of my playlists. And
yeah, that song had, like, a super, like, 60s vibe that I dug for sure. I thought there was a lot of cool, like, throwback stuff on this where it kind of sounded modern, but it had, like, some 60s throwback elements too. And I dig that for sure.
All right, well, that's mine, so that'll move us up to Nick's.
All right, we're putting ourselves in danger of more
lesbian overtones,
but let's get into it. So I had everybody listen to Florence and the Machine's first record, Lungs.
Mm-hmm.
This is an album that I would say maybe I've only been listening to for 4 or 5 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's not as deeply ingrained in me as some of the other albums that I've picked, but... I think some of the stuff that I like about this one is you could maybe make an argument that they're not later, but I think this album is a rock album written like a pop album. It's
okay.
Like she,
I'm interested to see where that goes.
She writes with producers to make the songs. So like it's written like you would write a pop album. The melodies are very pop, but I feel like the spirit of the album is kind of rock and roll. And she has like this,
I would argue it gets there, but,
she has this sort of like dark, spirit about her that I don't know if it's like her Englishness, but it's like comparing it, I feel like, to other pop music of its ilk, I just connect more with the way that she writes, like the way that she writes lyrics, and her vocal delivery I feel like is very unique. And just like the spirit of all of these songs, it like most of them build in such an incredible way. Like I think she knows how to build up excitement throughout songs in a really special way. Like all these songs, like they usually start with good grooves or whatever, but by the time you get to the end, there's like vocal layering and stuff, and everything's really kicking in, and I'm just like dancing and wherever I'm standing, my cat's looking at me like I'm an asshole. Yeah. Like I think that for me at least, I think that this album is like a flawless album. I don't think there's any bad songs on this album. I think that I don't care about your guys' taste. I don't come here to get your opinion. I come here to hear myself talk.
Well,
it's been going for a while. But like, dude. But like talking about the other album where you just have like that dose of rock in the middle. Yeah. You get Kiss with a Fist on this album.
Thank God for that song.
Right into Girl with One Eye, which is such a like a Led Zeppelin, like Since I've Been Loving You type song that just builds and builds and builds. And then she's just like kicking ass at the end of that song. Dude. Like I would put her vocal delivery at the end of that song up with like any of the great rock singers, and I think she stands right there with them. And then you get other just like really cool kind of like macabre songs and pop songs on here. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a great mix of vibes, all with like this dark overtone that I connect with.
I gotta tell you, I hated this album until until Kiss with a Fist.
Okay.
The first part, like the first like four songs, I was like, "What the fuck are you doing to me?" Like, here's the thing: like, I've heard Dog Days Are Over,
sure.
But I'm convinced I had heard the demo version because that's the version I connected with when I like heard it later in the album.
Mm-hmm.
Because the version that's at the beginning of it, I was like, "Oh my god, they put this on the radio and thought it was going to do like this." Oh, this one seems like a bad choice, but
hot take.
But with I actually did a little reading, and Kiss with a Fist is the first single from this album. And after hearing it, hell yes. No wonder they were calling it a rock album. That song fucking kicks ass.
For sure.
Every step of the way. And it, I feel like that's when the album actually fucking gets started. Because the rest of it is like, hey, listen to me produce so much sound.
I don't even disagree with that.
Yeah, yeah. So much sound. Like, I'm just going to hit, like, I'm going to, like, lean so hard into the wall of sound idea. And I was like, if one more fucking song does this to me,
that's fair.
I'm out. And then she's like, boom, punches, like, thank God for that song, because I was writing this album off.
The funny thing is, I don't disagree with you. Dog Days Are Over is fine.
Yeah.
Rabbit Heart is fine. But I Think I'm Not Calling You a Liar and Howl both bang. Especially the choruses, man.
Like, I just especially feel like there's so much, like, It's her. I think it's all the worst impulses she has. I feel like as an artist, and you hear them in other spots where she's like operatic and it's great. And I feel like in those spaces, because of all the noise of it, and it feels noisy, not like in a positive way.
I don't agree. It is noisy, but not.
Yeah, I feel like it's just
not in
the
negative way.
Because man, like when we get back to like when you strip all that shit away, and she's doing like great stuff. Like obviously, I'm way over the moon with Kiss with a Fist. But even down when you get down to My Boy Builds Coffins,
great
which
song.
Which is a great song, and I thought like I was like, and honestly like you know you look at the cover art and you hear the noise of the first few tracks and you're like, oh, okay, so like we're gonna be like kind of like an Evanescence kind of thing here. That's where we're heading at first. And then, you know, when you look at the track list and after you've heard a couple of songs, you're like, oh, God, this is where we're going. And then you get to that song, and that song's really fucking good.
Yeah, that's
and it's
kind of
really,
like a, it's like a folk song, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, no, and it's like, it's a beautiful fucking folk song with just the right hint of pop and rock to it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's the stuff that I think is, like, worth connecting to in this album. After you get past the first four fucking songs,
I gotta hear what Peter thinks about this album. Dude, I have a feeling that it's gonna be fire and fury.
No, dude, Florence like plus the machine.
that's an and.
Okay, and the machine. Okay.
Although I feel like if she needs a publicist,
there we go. Like, dude, is this chick redheaded?
Yeah.
Dude, Sarah McLachlan could take some notes. This redhead did it right, bro. This redhead did it right. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Like,
okay.
You know, if my argument from, like, Sarah McLachlan was like, there's no autonomy, you know, like, whatever. Like,
no, this dude, album is all autonomy. About,
like, yeah, she's, yeah, like, she's a player in her own love journey, okay? She's
like, I don't... If we ever get popular for t-shirts, that's the t-shirt. player in my own love journey.
Yeah.
For real, dude. Yeah. For real. Yeah. I mean, there was a few, I think it was, maybe it was like Rabbit Heart, where I'm like, oh, dude, she getting all coy up in here. She gonna pull a Sarah McLachlan a second.
But you could say that about any love song that's been written in the history of all time.
But dude, but then she like came back. No, but then she came back, you know, because there's a place.
I love how you get defensive before we finish the thought.
Yeah, because right? I know the stupid
well,
shit.
Well, not even his thought, like any of the thought where I was like, well, I think, oh.
What do you expect?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, you know, but then, like, you can make the argument that that whole, like, metaphor with, like, the rabbit staring at some headlights was her just sort of accepting her fate. Like, whatever. I don't know. But whatever that shit is, I don't care, dude. Because every track after that point, you're like, Howl? Let's flip and go, dude.
Howl's a banger, man.
Like some child possessed the disagree. Beast howls in my veins. I want to find you. Oh, get after it, dude. Let's go. Tear out all your tenderness. Who needs that shit, you know? Like, this is the stuff, dude.
But see, that's the kind of lyrics that I'm talking about.
Those are great lyrics, but they're just so fucking noisy in that song.
Don't agree. I feel like she writes in kind of like a visceral, like sort of goth way that could
a visceral goth way
that could yes that could verge on Evanescence and yeah. type stuff, but I don't think it ever does.
No, I mean, well, again, because once you get past, like, I could guess, I could give you Howl. I don't agree, but like once you get past,
then don't give it to me. I don't want it.
once you get past the like sound wall to find like the actual cool shit happening, like, yeah, she gets past all that and is amazing.
See, it's interesting because I feel like it never stops doing the wall of sound thing. I feel like every song has it. Even My Boy Builds Coffins, I feel like, does the same thing where it starts layering her vocals and stuff.
See, I think, but the layering there is better.
Yeah, I'm not, it's definitely sparser than some of the other songs.
Because actually, see, the demo of Dog Days Are Over does it, but it does it so much better.
Yeah. I don't know, I just think that, like, I don't know, talking about, like, drumming song is, like, such a cool vibe, even though it completely rips off Good Times, Bad Times, but that's fine. It's, like, it's just so groovy. I think the cool thing about this is, like...
It can cause you to say groovy?
Yeah, but no, like, I love it that it's, like, a rock album, but I want to dance to every song.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, dancing songs.
No.
Like, none of them really have, like, dance grooves, but you can kind of just, like, gyrate to every song on this album.
Is that what you were doing just now? Because it looked more like flailing and flopping.
Yeah, but and then like there's just such great energy. Like I said, Girl with One Eye, Hurricane Drunk is like an Alanis Morissette song.
Yes,
and
it rules. 100%. It's great.
I like Blinding has such great lyrics on it. Like I love the vibe of this album, and I'm glad to hear that you like it, Peter.
Dude, no, I did, dude. And like, let's be like, Girl with One Eye, with one eye open, bro.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's like a metaphor for virginity. I'm assuming.
So it's actually the only song in the album that she didn't write. It was, I think she said it was from a band that she used to play with and they never recorded it.
Okay,
so she like took it and recorded it.
Dude,
for
still,
herself.
Dude, the imagery. Oh my goodness, bro. Dude, that, I mean, and then, oh wait, the one right after, like, like you said, like
drumming song rule. Yeah, great.
And it was just like, dude, and just, I don't know. There's like, in drums on this particularly, there's like this, like, next track, Between Two Lungs, there was like this, like, the idea, like, I could sense, like, this, like, person just, like waiting to say I love you or something in that track. You know, I could just sense the hesitation. The title matched the song perfectly. Dude, this album was fire, dude. Are you kidding me, bro?
No.
Are you kidding me? Like, this shit was, like, lit on another level, dude.
I think that one thing kind of lending credence to what you're saying, Luke, though, is, I don't know if you probably didn't because you probably didn't care, but if you watched them live, I think it shows the pitfalls of making music like this.
Yeah.
They, in my opinion, I don't know if this is a hot take, they don't deliver live.
Because, I can see that.
Because
see
they
that.
Can't replicate what this album sounds like. At least I've never seen them do it live.
Yeah.
Where that build, you can't replicate 95 instruments when you only have five.
Well, I would, okay, so not to get us too far off topic here, but I saw Andrew Bird live. And he did a great thing where he just like came out and started a piece and looped himself.
Sure.
Doing different things about three different times,
yeah.
And then just started playing, and like so you can do it. And he was doing it in a very minimalist space, I think you're right. I think it's much harder to do on that sort of scale.
Yeah, it's a little bit different of a thing than just like what like guitar players or whatever do with looping tracks because you're getting so many vocal overdubs and there's like a ton of what sort of instrumentation they do in the sound, like the strings and stuff coming in. It just makes them feel so big.
Well, it's because of the operatic tendency she has. Like vocally, I mean, if she decides she's done with this, like she's got places she could go for sure, right? Like, I mean, she's impressive.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I think that it's just, that build is what I love. And again, I don't know. As somebody who came to this album as an adult, it had lyrics that I would have like really connected with when I was like 15 years old. but it just hits me at the right time. Like, like in Blinding, there's this great line, like straight out of a Tim Burton movie where she says, "No more dreaming of the dead as if death itself was undone.
Yeah.
No more calling like a crow for a boy for a body in the garden.
That song's great.
No more dreaming like a girl so in love with the wrong world." Like, I'm like, I was that person. I'm like, I could have been an Edward Scissorhands. That's what this song makes me think of. It's like you know when you're kind of into that whole like macabre thing and you're like, oh, death is so romantic and you're an asshole.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah, you just literally described like a significant period of literature in the English canon. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like, I feel like there's just you mentioned a couple, like there's just examples of cool lyrics like that that you wouldn't find in any pop songs, which is why I think this album has kind of a rock edge to it.
Yeah.
Not only do I think she's a rock singer and the instrumentation on this album is pretty, pretty sparse rock and roll type stuff, I just think that like the energy but I think the bones of this album is a rock album layered with pop production.
Right. Well, and I think that's why it can't deliver on stage.
Right.
Because, you know, it's too complicated.
No, you even watch a song like Girl With One Eye, which I feel like they should be able to do live. And I've watched a couple live videos where it just doesn't get there, where she's just like going into that chorus at the end and it just doesn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like on this album, I could murder somebody to this song and feel okay about it. Like,
well, I mean, that there's no way that could ever come back to haunt you. So I'm glad you said that on the record.
Running for local office in 2024. But yeah, no, I dig it. I love this album. What are some of your guys' favorite tracks? I would say mine, I would go Howl, Girl With One Eye, Drumming Song, Hurricane Drunk, Blinding. I mean, I can't really pick one, but those are a few.
I mean, I think I was pretty clear that I love Kiss With A Fist. Like,
it's one of my least favorite songs on here.
Really?
Like, it's one of those ones that, again, talking about the other one, where it kind of feels out of place. It doesn't sound like anything else that's on this album.
No, and it's such a beautiful breakup after all the noise. And it sets up the rest of the album, I think, very well. Like I said, I liked My Boy Builds Coffins. We talked about Hurricane Drunk. That's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
I love the demo version of Dog Days Are Over. Like,
that's the hipsterest thing you could say on this podcast.
Yeah, like, you know, give me time.
You know which album I liked the most? The one that was this, but the demos.
There's a song from by Wilco called "The Late Greats," where he talks about like the best song has never been sung, and I feel like that's like, you know, that's where I'm at as a person most of the time. Like, no, you wrote it down, you sang it. It can only be so good now.
Right. Peter, what do you got? Give me some of your faves.
Girl With One Eye, Howl, and honestly, that ending, like, was it Blinding, right?
No, You've Got Swimming. The Love is the last song.
Oh, yeah, The Love.
I thought it was Swimming is the last song.
Whatever that last song was great.
If you listen to some bonus track bullshit, don't bring that into my head.
Mine says Swimming.
Yeah, that's not
swimming,
real.
That was, or whatever it was. It was great. Whatever it was.
Standard.
All dudes whipping out the CD. That last track was great. I think it was a great way to end the album.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, I am glad that Peter liked one of the albums I brought.
Yeah, 100%.
What a crazy thing. Yeah. Wait till he hears what's going to happen in the next segment.
Let's go.
So, cool. All right, Peter, take it away, man. Okay. Introduce your album.
All right, so we have Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. I enjoyed this album. I really did. I think like the music production is top tier. I think like he touches on the topics that he needs to touch, that he wants to touch, not tactfully at all. I think he does it pretty abrasively, but I believe that to be the point. I think like the emotion, the rawness, and there is a raw element to this album, comes through in almost every track. In almost every track. Maybe with the exception of like the second track, which I think just for free. Like, maybe with the exception of that track, like the rawness comes through.
Really?
Well, I mean, but there's a reason I say
no,
this.
No,
okay.
I just...
Okay. When we'll cross that between time for that, because there, I do agree the lyrical content of that track is amazing, but I think he goes through it too quickly to impact pretty hard. I think it's unforgiving in a lot of capacities unless he's directing that forgiveness to himself. And then I think in You, he does a good job of that, of expressing that. But yeah, I just think it's a great track, conceptually speaking. I think there's a clear message to be had here. And this is sort of, as far as like contemporary rap goes, this is sort of like one of the more highly touted albums from just like an artistic standpoint. I was really curious, to what you guys sort of thought on that, to be honest.
Peter, after you have made me listen to so much shitty music, I cannot believe that I'm going to say this. This album's a fucking masterpiece. I bought it.
Let's flip and go! Let's flip and go!
Here's the thing. I would buy it, except I know I would never listen to it again. And the reason is, it's like, it's one of those pieces of art that I feel like I don't want to come back to it because I want all the stuff that it gave me the first time.
I have listened to almost nothing else for 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's been in my car for 2 weeks. Go. I other music has not excited me for 2 weeks.
Wow.
This album kicked me in the balls.
100%.
By the end of it, I'm not embarrassed to admit this. Yeah. I teared up at the end of this album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think that it builds in its message and its narrative throughout the album. That by the time you get to the 1-2 punch of I, Immortal Man, like, talk about sticking a fucking landing.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The end of this album is legitimately brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't believe that it, like, it has what I would consider maybe multiple endings, but because he finishes that poem that he's been giving the entire thing,
and that
punches you right in the gut.
I love that.
And then that he has that interview with Tupac, and then he reads Tupac that thing, and he's calling out for Tupac, and Tupac's not there because he died as a victim of all of the shit that he's talking about on this album.
Exactly,
this album, it blew my mind. Uh-huh. I'm like, let's there's go. No reason that 8 minutes of talking at the end of an
should
album
should matter. That should be, no.
Or you shouldn't be like, can we just fucking end this album and start the music again? Like, that should be your feeling at the end, not on this fucking thing.
No.
And it was interesting because I had seen that there was like some criticism about apparently the version of I that's on here is not the single version, and I could not care less. The thing that he has at the end of this where he's talking to the crowd I just fucking so great. And just like especially the last half of this album is nothing but fantastic songs.
Mm-hmm.
The Black of the Berry, fucking incredible.
Great. Yes.
Like the lyrics in that one, I can't say all of the lyrics that I like, unfortunately.
Reasons,
But I will just say the last two lines of the Black of the Berry are the best lyrics on this album. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. That I think just perfectly encapsulate like the message of this album.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like fucking how much a dollar cost. I love things that are like, especially drums that are perfectly produced. I don't know if that thing that's supposed to be a snare is actually a snare, but like I could listen to that track on repeat for the rest of my life. It just feels good.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you can listen to tracks on repeat on this album, but I feel like that is the worst thing you could do to this album, is to listen to it.
It is
any one piece
on
repeat ever.
Yeah. I just mean the actual backing track,
not even
the song.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is like, your argument is always like, listen to an album in its entirety.
Right.
This album proves your argument start to finish.
For sure.
It really, really does. And also, remember how we were talking about how like, with whatever, like Tyler the Creator kind of got close to something that I was talking about, like that I really am interested in, and like, hip hop, where it connects to its roots, like when it does all those things. Oh my god!
The
fact that George Clinton is on the first fucking track.
Right.
Holy shit! And For Free sounds like slam poetry that like I dream about kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like that was amazing.
I do. I love, and I want just to back to a week because I essentially did.
Yeah.
I feel like he went too fast through some of the slam poetry.
Oh no! But that's how it should sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Okay,
that's how it should sound.
Okay.
You should roll in, and it should like punch you in the face the whole fucking time,
okay.
And then everyone just goes like.
Especially especially the end, okay. When he's just go those last few bars,
Jesus Christ,
going,
yeah.
going.
Okay, yeah.
I think that song, kind of going back to some of the other rap you've had us listen to, like that song has sexually explicit imagery that's obviously not about sex. And so like other times on this podcast, you've made the argument that like talking about boning is like some highfalutin poetry
people are doing. This is the one time you're right.
Obviously not. This song like clearly is, and the imagery is perfect for what he's talking about.
Okay. I know.
And yeah, I agree with it. It when I first heard it, I'm like, I was kind of turned off by it.
Oh,
but when
man.
I started listening to the lyrics,
I mean, the first song. I mean, like, I love that George Clinton's on there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wesley's Theory is like, it's pretty good. I wasn't against it, but. Then that interlude hits, and I was just like, oh shit, this is where we're going?
Yeah,
this is the kind of shit we're going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
100% I'm in.
I think that the album really starts with the, I got a bone to pick!
King Kunta is such,
King Kunta is a banger for sure.
Yeah,
like, talking about songs on the album, there are songs on this album that I would listen to on their own.
Yeah.
King Kunta, you could just blast that anytime.
Sure.
You can blast anytime.
Yeah.
There's some, like, hits on this that are whatever, but...
See, for me, like, and again, like, with this album, it feels like such a piece of art that I want the experience. I don't want to ever ruin
fair.
It. Like, okay, great. Because I feel like there are pieces of art where you take them in and you enjoy them and you maybe don't revisit them because you don't need to or you shouldn't or it just hits you right the first time. And for me, like that was like when I got, first of all, it's not a slog, but it was painful in the right way. It was in the way good art should be. Because this is art in the way like where art makes you like no motherfucker slaps you around and says pay attention to the shit that's happening.
Uh-huh, right.
This album like does that and it does it really fucking well.
Mm-hmm.
But like I can't imagine like I can't imagine listening to it over and over again for me just because it's like. Dear God, like that, just like it can be exhausted by the end. Just like holy shit!
If you're willing to like mentally invest that album while you're listening to it, that's a lot to take.
Yeah. If it's just in the background, that's fine. Yeah. But, like,
I think what I've liked about it more as I've listened to it.
Sure.
There's some stuff on here that when I listened to it through it the first time, I like appreciated the lyrics and whatever. But there were some like stylistic things that I just really didn't connect with because I'm not super familiar with them.
Sure.
Like some sort of like vocal affectations that he uses, or just like weird melodies and things that he does that. It, like kind of didn't work for me the first time I listened to it, but like as I've listened to it more and kind of like got into like the jazzy kind of like funky vibe of it, like I've liked those elements more, so it's enriched some of the musicality to me that I didn't like as much the first time I listened to it, even though I loved the like message of the album.
I mean, because the message is impressive all the way through, and I mean, and then like once you've actually like sort of taken in the album and then you look at the cover art, you're just like. Oh my God, this is so
it's good. So cohesive.
So good. Yeah, so
and
like
that's
100%.
And that's why I feel insulted on behalf of rap music that this and the shit that you've made us listen to is considered the same genre.
But within a genre, there can be like varieties of depth. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, like, this is art in maybe like the more pure high form.
Right.
Agreed.
Like,
I'm not going to disagree with that.
I mean, and what's amazing to me is like the title is at first blush ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the end, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like this is a very well built metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're when he's like taking you through that metaphor, you're just like, the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
It does kind of, like, talking about the rap thing, though, this album does bring up an interesting thing. I don't know, did you guys happen to see that movie that came out last year, One Night in Miami? Did you see that?
I didn't see it, no.
It has this interesting thing. It takes place during the Civil Rights Movement, and it asks the question, like, if you are somebody that has a platform, do you have a responsibility to do something good with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this album, I think, brings up the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think rap musicians have an obligation to say something about their communities or whatever that kind of like opens people's eyes.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching like live concert stuff with Kendrick Lamar. Obviously, he has a lot of white fans.
Yeah.
So you know that this music has a lot of crossover appeal. And to me, it opened my eyes to things that I hadn't thought about before.
Yeah.
Specifically like the way that he talks about like the kind of hypocrisy of gang violence
yeah.
and police violence. Oh, like, God, I've yeah. never really thought about that, yeah. but he really addresses it, I think, in a really fair-minded way on this album, mm. which is interesting because I had read that in The Black or the Berry, like, the first two verses are, like, very clearly about police brutality, mm-hmm. and then the third verse flips it, and it's about gang violence yeah. and how, like, what the hypocrisy of that is, and that he got a lot of shit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's... But that's kind of like the great thing about this album is that that controversy breeds conversation.
Yes.
And this is a necessary conversation, oh, especially yeah.
oh,
right now.
Oh, God, I know. Like, it felt... Yeah. It was funny, like, when we looked at the date on it. I mean, not that it's never... Not like it's, like, oh, gone away and then came yeah. back or something.
Right.
But for it to feel so much more present,
yes.
right?
Agreed.
It is, like... Uh-huh. It, I mean...
Well, I mean, think
yeah.
it came out in 2015. I mean,
yeah.
look at what fucking happened in 2016.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like,
uh-huh.
yeah.
No. And I mean, and it's so prominent there.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God. And just like the like when they're talking about names and people, and you're just like,
yeah.
holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit was basically like my
90%
of my response, and like
I mean,
with a good, like in a good way. Like again, mm-hmm. like great art should make you fucking feel and question, and like, and it should punch you in the gut, but
mm-hmm.
and, but also make you feel. You know, like there's potential good out of it.
Right.
This does all of those things, and it does it in a bunch of great ways with amazing acknowledgement of where it came from and where it can go.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that was like, because that, if there was something I hated, like when, remember when I was super pissed about that album you had us listen to the first time we did this?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was just like, all you're showing me is shit from the past.
Yeah, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
the worst shit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the 100%. The complete opposite direction. Here is the past. Here are things in the past. Here are people from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the future that we want to get to. And here's where I am now stuck?
Yeah.
Question mark? Like,
uh-huh. Dude, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, like, was it you that did a good job of sort of, like, describing exactly what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
It might have been, where there was, like,
yeah.
this sort of, like, shift in the middle.
Oh,
where
God, when
he starts
about...
crying.
Yeah.
Like, he, oh, dude, yeah. Oh,
when,
my
where
God.
He talks about, like, going back
mm-hmm.
to see people and stuff at one point and just,
yeah.
oh, my God, I was just like...
Dude, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You know something amazing is happening where like it burns the space you're in,
mm-hmm.
like where you're like I was driving listening to that. I know the road I was on when I heard that song.
Yeah,
mm. like
good.
Damn, you know.
No, it's so. I think the great thing about it is it's introspective, which a lot of rap is.
Yeah,
but it's very emotionally honest.
Yeah, oh.
and in ways that I feel like are pretty daring.
Yeah,
to really put it yourself out there, like talking about kind of being. On the forefront of something new, like you said, this doesn't sound like classic, like golden age rap.
No.
This doesn't sound
no.
like Nas or any of those great storytellers from the 90s.
No.
Like, this is very much modern.
Yeah.
You can tell that the songs are more modern. The way that he raps is more modern. I do love the fact, I've never really heard this before. You can tell me if a lot of people do this.
Yeah.
He changes his voice constantly.
No, he's done that in Good Kid, Mad City as well.
Well,
nice
so the
yeah.
the worst thing about this album is how disappointed I was with both Good Kid, Mad City and Damn,
oh,
which I listened to after this.
Okay. Yeah.
Neither of which got me anywhere near what I felt. Like, I was talking to my wife about it. I said, I'm so glad that you had me listen to this one
mm-hmm.
because I think if you had me listen to Damn or Good Kid, Mad City, I would have come back and said, this is pretty good. I never would have listened to the rest of it, though,
yeah, uh-huh.
and I never would have heard this.
Yeah.
I just thought that, like, Good Kid, Mad City felt juvenile compared to this. I don't know
yeah.
if that's an offensive thing to say.
It felt like a microcosm of what this conceptually is.
Yeah, I just,
yeah.
the lyrics,
uh-huh.
I felt like were... just more basic like
yeah.
rap stuff that I've heard
agree.
Before.
I'll agree with that, yeah.
And I like Damn better.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the songwriting was better on that, but it lacked what I found
yeah.
to be kind of the intelligence of
yeah,
this album.
Because it sacrificed that intelligence for
mm-hmm.
some poppiness a little
right.
bit too. And that
yeah.
was the problem.
And this mm-hmm. There is no
I don't even the hits on here are not like
not the hits.
Yeah.
No, they're not
yeah.
like I wrote this song to be a hit. Like they just
yeah.
happen to be
yeah.
banger.
Yeah, uh-huh. they just happen to be great. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I agree.
No, I feel like I is super that way. Like, it's got that, like,
mm-hmm.
clean guitar riff and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of upbeat, but there's not really anything about that song, especially, like, his delivery in the chorus, that's like, oh, that's mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mainstream.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think that's so... I think when you can go in and just, like, confidently make an album...
Right.
Especially when, as far as I understand, like, he was fairly... revered for that first album, like really put him on a pedestal, and then to come in and make a second album that's like this, where you just don't give a shit, you're just making the album you want to make. I think that's so cool.
Right? Yeah. No, I agree, and like to just deliver so well on it too. Like, I mean, because sometimes people come in and make a second album and they make whatever the fuck they want to make and it sucks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is not that case.
No.
Not even close.
No. I mean, we haven't even talked about most of the songs on here.
Yeah.
And most of the songs on here are great. All Right is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Hood Politics is great. We talked about How Much a Dollar Cost. How Much a Dollar Cost probably has, like, pound for pound, my favorite lyrics of the album.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's better lyrics in some of the other songs, but as a whole song, that one's got my favorite. Complexion is awesome.
That is really good.
The woman he has guest on it is awesome. Mm. That is one thing I will say that I love about him as well, is that there's not 54 other rappers on this album.
No, and they're all... Yeah,
that's fair.
Everyone who's there is there with a purpose.
Right.
And it's all very purposeful. It's all structured.
Right. Mm. Even Snoop Dogg on here is... His contribution is negligible.
Mm-hmm.
And where he is feels really natural and cool.
Yep. Yeah.
And this chick, I don't know who she is. I don't know if she's popular or not. Rhapsody, I don't know who she is. But she fits perfectly into the vibe of the song.
And she isn't popular.
And she sounds like a breath of fresh air to me when she comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just appreciated that, like, there's no Kanye West on this album. Common, thank God, is not on this album. I have nothing against Common. I just thought his part on that album was so stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then you get in, like I said, the Black or the Berry is awesome. That fucking chorus is so good. You Ain't Gotta Lie is like this cool laid-back, like,
jazz. Oh, yeah. No, that's, that is great, yeah.
And yeah, I still am floored by how good Mortal Man is. The only thing I was going to ask you guys, I generally understand the message he's trying to get across in the main part of Mortal Man, but there's one part in the song where, because he's talking about when shit hits the fan, he's still a fan, and he says, talking about Michael Jackson, he gave us Billie Jean, but you say he touched those kids? And I'm like, yeah, probably. Both those things can be true.
Right,
Like, am I supposed to pretend that he's not potentially a pedophile because he wrote good songs?
Well, I think that, I mean, I think
I didn't get that part.
I think that's some of the argument that, like, I think there is a narrative that says Michael Jackson was treated that way because of who he was as an artist, that he was a black man, and that they had to bring him down in some way. And, like, that they, instead of talking about the fact that he was a child who came up in an industry that's bonkers, and so he was maybe trying to reach back to his own childhood, you know, because I've heard this argument, right?
That's right.
And he's just trying to, like, wanting to connect with youthfulness, and people being like, well, this is a possible thing. Everyone just immediately goes, nope, pedo, and, like, writes him off.
Right.
And then wants to write off his whole musical catalog, too.
And I think that's the problem. I think, right, just because, and I think this album is a great excuse or a great argument for separating, like, the art from the artist.
Yeah.
And
how you
stand on its own. For and sure. I think that's what that song is talking about, right? Like, you can be a great artist and be a bad person.
And sometimes it's beneficial.
Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean you should sacrifice the art that was created.
Right.
And I think that is a compulsion right now, like, oh, that person's a scumbag, let's erase 40 years of their history. Like, you're bad if you experience that art now. When you're kind of neglecting all of the other people that go into it.
Well, right. And again, like, now that's just another lens to look through at that art through.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think oftentimes it's an important lens.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can make a strong argument that the minute art leaves the artist, the connection to the artist is largely irrelevant. And,
right.
And how I interact with it, or how you interact with it, is the most important part of an artistic experience.
But yeah, for sure.
No, I know there are people who disagree with that very much, too.
I 100% agree with that. I think that the author's intention in this case is entirely meaningless.
Yeah.
I think for some of this stuff, like this album, I think that there is stuff that I would be, that I just don't know enough about.
Yeah.
That
I found myself in those spaces too, where I'm like, I am not knowledgeable.
Right.
I have not experienced enough of this or
on
know
anyone.
Level.
Yeah.
I've read about it.
Yeah.
In magazines, I'm sure no one gives a shit about kind mm-hmm. of a thing. Like,
right.
You know, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I think like getting some ancillary knowledge can be helpful for understanding something like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as what he intended, because speaking of the Black or the Berry, I heard one of his rebuttal to that last line when he's talking about people being hypocrites for being upset about Trayvon Martin mm-hmm. and then killing somebody because they're blacker than you are.
Yeah.
He responded by saying that he wasn't blaming the black community as a whole. That was just his personal experience, which I honestly kind of felt to be a cop-out.
Yeah, possibly wise.
To me, I
feel
like...
Interesting word choice.
I feel, yeah, I feel like that line is like one of like the bravest lines on the mm-hmm. album to uh-huh. really just say like we have to look at this and have to consider what this is. And I'm sure it is his experience that is the case. But at the same time, I think it's also pretty clear that he's making a broader message.
Yeah.
And I think walking it back and saying that's not what he's doing is a little bit of a cop-out.
Agreed.
He might have said it somewhere else. I was just curious about it. And so I was reading some of just like the reviews and stuff on the album and saw that that had come up and that that was one of the things he said about it. But I would be curious to know if he's said anything since.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, to be honest. Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that... I don't even want to know what you're recommending for next week.
It won't be that.
Yeah,
hard.
It's not going to.
Yeah, it's never going to be on that level. So
yeah. It's going to be. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to say anybody in case I'm an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Who's somebody that is white that everybody thinks is bad? T-Pain.
Okay.
T-Pain.
No.
Yeah.
No. I have so much respect for T-Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a place and a time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. So we'll do favorite tracks. We've kind of already talked about it.
I can
bang to King Kunta. How Much a Dollar Cost, Black or the Berry, You Ain't Gotta Lie, And obviously, it's hard for me to even consider Mortal Man a song.
Yeah,
like,
honestly.
Yeah.
But
it's like a performance art piece.
Yeah, exactly.
So I won't count that in my top tracks, but I mean, those are some of my favorites.
Yeah. As I said, like the thing that I felt... Like, one of the things I really loved was the For Free track. Mm-hmm. Like, that, I mean, God, that's just so great. And then, obviously, we've talked about, you know, a bunch of these things. Like, Complexion's great, The Black of the Berry, You Ain't Gotta Lie, that one's great. Obviously, Mortal Man and things like that we've already talked about. But, I mean, just the whole thing is just such a piece. It's so weird to say, like, well, this one part is better than any one part.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a whole. And, like, it's such an important... connected whole, it's hard to say.
Agreed.
Can you imagine, just imagine in your brain, that poem that he does throughout the entire thing?
Oh my God, that poem's amazing.
If he had Common come in and read that poem?
No.
Like,
no. Anyone else? And every time I found myself getting more, because it's just that little piece for so much of it, and it just pops up, and I was like, I was just getting so much more invested in it. And you and I have argued over poetry a bunch. That's the kind of shit that invests me deeply in poetry.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, oh, you know, like...
I will say, speaking about that poem, I have gone so fucking deep into this guy.
Yeah.
I was watching an interview with him and Rick Rubin the other day, and it's so funny to watch... White people still have not figured out how to talk about this music in a comfortable way.
Yeah.
Rick Rubin really wanted to ask him about that poem.
Yeah.
And at the end of the album, he makes very clear what the title of the poem is.
Yeah.
But Rick Rubin is like trying to figure out how to talk about it and say what to call it. He's like, I was conflicted or whatever that poem is that you write. They're like, well, the title's at the end. Why don't you just say it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's very funny to hear white people try and talk about this music. Nobody's figured it out.
No.
I don't know if it ever can be.
No.
Peter, give me some favorite tracks.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know if we brought up These Walls, but I do love that track, dude. I do. All right.
These Walls could talk.
Dude, for real. Because, I love that track. There was this... I don't know, Hood Politics. I mean, it's all been said, right?
Yeah,
it's all been said. Complexion, Black of the Berry.
Complexion.
It's all been said. It's so good, dude. It's so flipping good.
I almost feel like you should just pick something at random that you saw on the internet.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
You there's nothing you're gonna hand us that's gonna be more this is exactly what we're looking for.
I know.
This is the piece of art we want. Prove to us that this is art. Here. Okay, well, you're done.
Yeah.
I know. Not that other people are not.
Here's the new Kanye West album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not done yet, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it
he's
yeah.
building. No, he's built. He's in a different stadium building a replica of his mom's house.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All
right,
mm-hmm.
cool.
All right. Lost his goddamn mind.
I know.
Well, let's do what we always do. Let's tease our recommendations for next week.
Yeah.
I am doing my newest album ever.
Well, you just got this one.
Yes. Chronologically, my newest album ever by the oldest artist I've recommended yet.
Okay.
David Bowie's last album, Black Star.
Okay. I'm excited.
All right. I'm not even going to try and hit that. We're going to take sort of a venture off in sort of like more comedy rap with Lil Dicky, the professional rapper.
So we're going from this to comedy.
100%. 100%. Because I'm not even going to try and touch it.
That's probably a good idea. I'm gonna stay kind of probably where I've been at, which is I'm going to go with the New Pornographers and album Twin Cinema.
Okay. All right. Rad. Well, we'll see you next time, folksies.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, though, and before we do our regular wrap-up, I just want to say, like, hey, I know there's probably only like 6 people listening to us, and you're probably already all vaccinated. But if you're not vaccinated and you're hesitant for whatever reason you've got, get the vaccine. The Delta variant is no joke. Get vaccinated so we can all get back to live music and catch great acts in the wild for the future. So anyway, this has been Earful, a podcast where 3 friends recommend albums to each other, and then... normally they argue a whole bunch, but tonight we just agreed the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Basically, we just jerked each other off tonight. But it's not always like that. Come back next time.
Yeah, check out last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Come back next time for another great conversation. Yeah.